Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. I just had up on our Phil TV and HD screen. There it is, if you're watching Phil TV and HD. And tonight, our stream is back. It is for your iOS. We are live, baby, for your,
Go ahead, spit it out. You all afternoon, you were practicing this.
No, well, not... For your iPhone, for your iPad.
What else?
Yeah, the Droid.
I'll do it. For your Droid, for everything. Our stream is back up and running and beautiful. And thank you, Bright Cove. And thank you, Paul. And thank you, Alex. And thank you, John. And thank all of everybody. Waleed.
What about Waleed?
Waleed, that's the cat's name.
Is he, I shouldn't ask.
Is he black?
I have no idea. I'm talking to the guy on the phone. Who cares, man? Anyway, thank you to all of those fine people for helping us. We got it together, and it's a beautiful thing. Anyway, I showed you the picture there, and it was of Sugar Ray Leonard, who will be a forthcoming guest on the new Bobby Dooley podcast. Margaret, have you been talking to Bobby about that?
She asked me, and I said, I've been talking. She said, well, who do you think I should have on? I said, look, who do you have so far? And she said, well, we've got Patty Arquette.
Yes.
Who's lovely. I love her.
She's great.
They've got Sugar Ray Leonard, who is marvelous. They have... Who's the one that is...
Well, don't they have Joel McHale?
Yes, Joel McHale. I love Joel. But I was thinking of the other one. Oh, I'm thinking of Joel McHale.
Never mind. So what did you ask her?
Well, I wanted her to remind me of who she was having on, because I can't remember, and I still can't. And she couldn't remember either. So I don't know whether they're even going to have a podcast because she can't remember who she interviewed.
Look, I know. I think that they've got in the can right now four or five, some of the names. You know, I don't want to roll out all the names here because I don't want to get her mad. And what do you mean you can't remember?
She can't remember, so I can't remember because I'm asking her.
Okay, great. So I'll call her up at some point and ask her. I shouldn't ask her.
Yes, he can't remember.
Somebody around here better start remembering who the hell is going to be on this pop...
Call a podcast, Mr. Allen. You said pop-cast.
Yeah, you almost said pop... No, he didn't. He said podcast.
No, he didn't. He said pop-cast.
How are you spelling that?
P-O-P, as in Paul.
Yeah. See, I think that he...
You come on.
No, you said P-O-B as in boy.
That's what I heard. I heard podcast. As if someone's name was Pob... You know, like Pob Hope.
I said podcast, Pob.
Well, who was Pob Hope? It wasn't anyone, that's who.
That's right, because his name was Bob Hope, not Pob Hope.
Or it could have been Paul Hope. I'm kidding, Phil. Why don't you relax? See if you can just move into tonight's show with a better attitude than you did last night.
I had a bad attitude. Let me just explain something. We had people here, and not only here, but we had them everywhere, commenting on the beating that you and Robert gave to Bud on these airwaves last night.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
See, he forgot about it. How bad could it be?
Well, I mean, it sounded like you were kicking him, you were beating him. I saw it. You were kicking him in the ribs, you were kicking him in the gut. Then you rolled him outside, Robert, and threw a bucket of water on him. And there you are, Margaret, saying, telling me to stay out of it and give him another shot and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so far what you're describing isn't that bad.
Yeah, all we did, man, I pushed him on the ground. I didn't get a lot of love tap.
You didn't give me a love tap. You kicked at me bad.
What do you mean he kicked at you bad?
Did he kick you solid or not?
Yeah.
No, I did. I swear to God, I was giving all these fake kicks.
Was it a fake kick, Margaret?
Nice going.
Well, I mean, the guy's going, I'm sorry.
Nice going. We had him going. We had him running with it.
And all three of you clowns are in on that? Did they kick you or not?
No.
Well, you'll be happy to know I had people that were sending emails and they were saying, you know, phone calls, and they were calling their priests and their local police and everything, saying that you guys basically just put a beating on him that would be worthy of any alley thug. You guys were kicking him, and now you're telling me they were all little fake kicks.
No, I mean, if you were going to call the cops.
See, that's the problem with the two of you. You get scared. You don't have any guts. You got scared and you turned yellow. You turned bright yellow. Big yellow stripe right down your back. You're yellow and you haven't got the guts.
What do you want us to do? You got to call a police officer.
You're not going to get arrested. You were the guy that was getting kicked.
Oh, yeah.
You would, Robert.
Yeah, see? I'm the one you're hanging out to dry.
I'm not hanging you out to dry. You would have been fine if you kept your big mouth shut.
Oh, come on. Let's grow up around here, okay? That was very, very scary to watch. You guys are doing fake kicks, and you're playing into it, bud. You know what? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, but it was fun.
True. All right. But in any event, that was what people perceived. So you can say what you want about them being fake kicks, but everybody calling this show last night and emailing and the thousands and billions and gazillions of people that I met on the street and just everyone bothering me, I had to get security to make my way down the driveway to get the paper. They all said the same thing. Good show, Phil.
Hey.
Thank you. All right, we've got some weird stuff happening tonight here, but again, our encouragement to you and to yours to join us at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass and watch as we are now available mobile, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There's no turning back now, see? There's no turning back now, you know.
Well, Phil, don't...
No, there's no turning back now. There's just, they've been talking about this and talking about it and talking about it, and we are now 21st century, baby. We are streaming for all operating systems, operations on a green light. We are on a standby basis. We're getting ready for the big blast-off to Mars. You got your iPhone. We're streaming on that live, and there ain't no turning back now.
Which means what, man? If it messed up, you may have to go back to the old system.
I just got done telling you, no, there's no turning back. And the picture is phenomenal. So if you've got a smartphone... And you are not looking at the world-famous Phil Henry Show, right? People ask me, where can we hear your show? You can hear it right here. You can hear it on your mobile. All you got to do is get a backstage pass. You don't have to look at the picture if you don't want to. Here, I'm going to show you something. This is me.
We're getting ready for the big blast off to Mars.
See? I'm not even looking at the picture.
And there ain't no turning back now.
That's against the law.
No, it's not against the law. Why is it against the law?
You can't rebroadcast another signal.
It's my signal that I'm rebroadcasting.
Well,
the picture is phenomenal. So if you've got a smartphone,
see? So in other words, you've got look
at the world famous Phil Henry Show, right? People ask me, "Where can we hear your show?"
There you see, I don't even look at the picture, man. I'm listening to the show. That's what you can do. People talking about, "Hey, where can I hear the show?" That's where you hear the show. If you don't have a local affiliate, that's all I'm saying. If you do have a local affiliate, it's fantastic. But if you don't, you can listen to us at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Do what my good friend Dan Northcraft does. He doesn't listen to the radio. He's in the... I'm kidding, Dan.
Well, you gave him the password.
True. I gave him my password. All right, we got some news that we got to get through. Some very, very important stuff. Earth-shaking stuff. Stuff that would, frankly, if you don't have a strong stomach, you're going to vomit. You're going to vomit. Some of this is just so gut-wrenching. Some of it is so unbelievable in it. The implications of some of this... Oh, God, how am I going to get through this? Demi Moore has turned 50.
Is that supposed to be funny? Because
I'm just screwing around. Demi Moore's turned 50, and they're making a big deal out of the fact that she looks good in a dress. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, Demi Moore is a woman, pretty damn good-looking woman, too. And the fact that she turned 50 means what exactly? Where have you guys been, anyway? This is some... It's an entertainment website, like jackball.com or your mama or yourass.com, whatever they're called, Radar on Your Mama. And they said... Oh, here it is. Here's the story. Thank you very much, bud.
Yeah, that's an asteroid going to hit the planet Earth and everything. And over here, right here...
I got it. Can I finish this?
Yeah, I just want to make one notation.
Yeah, right there. There's Earth.
Well, no kidding, that's the Earth, but...
I'm reading about Demi Moore, do you mind?
You want an honest answer?
Yes.
Yes, we do mind. We'd rather talk about this.
Well, I'm going to talk about Demi Moore, so you can take that and park it.
My God, Phil, why are you hostile?
Nothing. I just want to get through one story here without you guys bugging me, okay?
Yeah, but okay. Can we talk among ourselves?
No, you may not talk among yourselves. I'm not going to do that story yet. Demi Moore, I would think you'd be interested in this, Margaret. Here's a woman who's one of the beauties of the silver screen, Demi Moore. And what do we got going on? We got a bunch of these clowns. I don't know what their problem is. Let me explain something to you fools, all right? Women hitting 50 now, that doesn't mean anything. In other words, women are beautiful at much older ages now than ever before. I don't know where you guys are hanging out. Maybe you're still watching reruns of The Beave, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, Barbara Billings, though, man, I'd tap that.
Yeah. I don't know where you've been, but the word is, you know, women who are hitting 50 are pretty, you know, a lot of them are pretty damn fine. And Demi Moore ain't no, you know, of all the people in the world, Demi Moore, you figure she's one of them. Now, they had a picture of her in a beautiful black dress, a skirt. She's out in the town. She's getting over Ashton, what's-his-ass. She's just finally, she's putting that behind her. I say that with all due respect, Mr. Kuchar, or Kuchner. I'm not trying to be a smartass. I always avoid the gentleman's last name because I don't know. It's Ashton Kuchar.
Yes, but his last name sounds like a slang for...
Yeah, a lady.
I'll talk. I don't need... God, I hate him.
All right, Bud, shut up.
His last name sounds like slang for, yes, a ladies. You know what?
Fine.
Well, aren't you going to make a comment on that? Don't you want to turn that into a discussion?
No, I do not want to turn it into a... Why would I do that? All right, we also have Stephen Bozell is going to be joining us later on. We got a lot of news. We'll take a break. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll get back into the whole... I mean, there's not a whole lot to get into about Demi Moore. Well, yes, there is, but not while we're on the air. Ha, 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 ha. And Sharon Stone, she's in the news. Actually, she isn't, but I'd like to talk about her, too. And Chelsea Handler and Piers Morgan are in some kind of a contretemps, some sort of a fist fight, some kind of a wrestling match, some sort of... there's a hassle going on there somewhere, and we'll talk about that. It's entertainment news tonight and other stuff. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And an asteroid's going to hit the Earth, too.
Yeah,
truth,
see, I told you about that.
Bitch.
I know.
The Phil Henry Show.
Why don't you talk about that right away? Don't tell me. I'll tell people what I want to talk about.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. Tonight, streaming on your operating system, whatever it is, your smartphone, your iPhone, your iPad. We're there, baby. We finally done it, you know.
Well, when are you going to stop? Just move. Just don't point up. Don't point it up as much, you know.
No, I think I'm gonna, because it's been a long time coming, if you don't mind.
That sound like a preacher or something.
Yeah, long time coming.
What about it?
That's what a preacher says. Long time coming.
Oh, is that what a preacher says?
Phil, don't be so sarcastic. I'm just...
Watch it now. I'm gonna be talking about this for a long time, that we are now available on your iPhone, all other smartphones. We got like 6 or 7 different streams going out, man. So don't start giving me a hard time about it, okay? All right. Anyway, welcome back here. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and join us online for all of the exciting frivolity, all of the informed opinion, all of the analysis, or as Jesse the Body Ventura once said, the analyzation, former governor of Minnesota, a guy who's not too bright. And when I said that, it got me into all kinds of trouble with some troll out there who I actually found out where this ass was. Did I tell you about this? I told you about this, right?
Did that guy called Jack Ball?
Some ass named Jack Ball, and he was just weighing in with all kinds of asinine opinion one night on Facebook. And while I'm listening to this, reading this clown's, his messages to me, calling me all kinds of names because I don't respect Jesse Ventura. Excuse me, but I just don't. I mean, are you kidding? I shouldn't even have to explain that. I shouldn't even have to. Here's a jackass that was the governor of a state that now believes that 9/11 is an inside job. Anything that Alex Jones pitches as a joke, and I swear to God, I'm firmly convinced that Alex Jones is kidding about 90% of the stuff he says. Anything he pitches, Ventura believes. So I'm sure the people of Minnesota knew what they were doing, but and I'm not going to comment on his career as a governor, but I'm sure it was fantastic, you know. I won't even comment on his on his Navy SEAL career, which he can't shut up about. Any guy that is a veteran and all he can do is talk about the great stuff he did as a veteran, I am automatically suspicious of.
Why?
Yes, what is wrong with that? Why can't a veteran say that he...
Yeah, if the guy, if he stormed a machine gun nest, then he got to talk about it?
No. As a matter of fact, it's generally the opposite. Generally, guys like that don't want to talk about it at all. Do you know that most guys, this is a very interesting fact, most guys, when they were informed that they'd won, they weren't even informed, when the Defense Department wanted to tell them that they'd won the Congressional Medal of Honor, it generally was a message saying, you're to report to so-and-so. And about 99% of those guys thought for sure they were going to jail for something.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you. About 99% of them thought, now my ass is in hot water now. I am in big trouble.
Why?
That's just their reaction. All of the stories I've read about these guys, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them, I'd say a majority of them, every time it was said to them, hey, you got to go report to so-and-so, or the general wants to see you, or, oh, great. You know, what did I do now? And then they're told they got the Congressional Medal of Honor, and they're staring at the guy like he's kidding. Are you joking? See, so it's not anything that they don't come home and start talking about what a great job they did over there. And this guy Ventura, that's all he can do is run his fat yap about being in the Navy SEALs. Now, I don't even know if the guy's got actual combat experience. He's a Vietnam veteran, and you can be a Vietnam veteran, and I don't mean any disrespect to Vietnam veterans who did not serve, quote, in country. I know that there are Vietnam-era veterans, and there's a ribbon that you get for being a Vietnam-era veteran. Not in country. There's a different ribbon for in country, and so on and so forth. I mean, there's no shame in any of that. But I think that when you are a guy like this guy Ventura, you know,
are we going to spend the whole show talking about that meathead? I really.
Well, whoa! Wait a second. A minute ago you were defending him.
Well, I think if you look at Jesse Ventura, Phil, it's obvious that he is a formidable man, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, he beat up, do you think he beat up Viet Cong?
I wouldn't be surprised if he did, at some point during the war, kill a man with his bare hands. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind.
Yeah, probably.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Do you love him?
Mr. Henry, have you ever seen Jesse Ventura when he was on a WWF or
no, he was on a Well, now it's the WWE, but then it was the WWE. So yeah, he was on a WWF, but now it's the WWE.
Yeah, just spit it out, okay?
Excuse me, Bud. Let Robert do it.
Yeah, I mean, did you ever see him?
I did. Yeah.
Now he could kill a man. I swear to God, I feared very, very much for any man who was in a ring because he would kill a man with his bare hands. There's no question in my mind.
Yes, this is the respect that he garners outside of the military. If you ask me, and this is only me, I have no doubt in my mind that during the Vietnam War, Jesse Ventura was responsible for the deaths of many enemy soldiers, and I believe they met their end with Jesse Ventura's bare hands. In other words, the end of their lives...
I know what you mean.
No, you don't. Hold on. Their life ended when the hands of Jesse Ventura... I don't know how to say it.
I can do it. But...
Wait a minute.
Would you just... Why are you butting in? Do it. Go. Bud, you go.
Well, what about...
All right, hold on, Robert. Bud, you go.
His end... He met his end when his hands...
Robert, now you.
What about me?
You shut up. Robert, you.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura killed enemy soldier by taking his bare hand, or taking their bare hand, no, his bare hands, and he put his bare hands all over. Well, that sounds kind of...
It sounds gay.
I'll do it. Jesse Ventura...
I'll do it! God! Jesse Ventura, you got no proof that that guy killed anybody, number one, and number two, if he did, and he did in the course of the Vietnam War, his bare hands.
Well, what's wrong with that?
That's a bunch of hokum that you believe based on his wrestling career. I mean, what did he do? He was on some kind of a mission and he crawled in the mud?
Yeah, they always darken up the face with the mud and everything. You don't know nothing.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's right, Bud. Thank you very much. They darken their face with the mud. It's right out of a TV show, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We've got a break coming up. A murderer has mistakenly been released from a prison in Indiana. I think they got him back. Also, dope being sold at a Walmart in Seattle? No. Are there dopes in Seattle? Yes. Are they in a Walmart? Maybe. But the dope is not being sold. We'll tell you that and more. It's a very sad story. And we'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
That is a sad story, isn't it?
Yeah, did you see that bud, though?
Don't worry about the bud. The only bud around here is you, bud.
Yeah, and you smoke bud, too. None of your business.
Phil Henry.
None of your beeswax. None of your business.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Why do we keep going from camera one to camera three to camera two?
That's just I want to see the different pictures and everything that it shows on an iPhone.
Well, that's true. I don't tire ever of showing the iPhone picture here on Phil TV.
Oh, my God.
Well, don't you have your... There, you, Margaret, you have yours on?
I do, and it is a lovely picture.
It's fantastic. All right. Welcome back to the show. We have Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, going to be joining us here in just a moment to talk about a story that was fascinating to me. I don't know why, but I think that people, and I'm not condoning this, and I'm not condoning, obviously, the criminal activity that put them where they were in the first place, but guys that escape from prison are fascinating to me, because what you're doing is you're essentially running the risk of being caught and having more time tacked on. In addition to which, the authorities are not going to be looking at you doubly hard. And there are people that escape from prison and do it again.
Yes, even though the authorities are looking at them, as you say, Phil, doubly hard, they are still going to escape. And now I'm looking at something on TV, Bunker Hostage Standoff.
Yeah, that's baloney.
What do you mean it's baloney? Well, we'll find out. It's another piece of sad news. I hope this boy's okay. This story is about a guy that escaped from an Indiana jail. And we'll take a look at the story. It's a convicted Indiana murderer mistakenly released from Cook County Jail. That's not an Indiana jail. That's a Chicago jail. How many guys have been busted out of Cook County?
You know, that's a very good point. There were three people that broke out last month that I think Dan was talking about. This is an Indiana man convicted of murder. He has been... Oh, my God, he's on the loose. Oh!
Oh, will you take it easy?
Well, where is he? Bud, would you get on the phone?
You better find out where he is.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm the guy that gives the orders here, okay?
This man is on the loose, hello.
I know he's on the loose from Indiana. Where are you right now?
I don't know. I feel, on the one hand, I'm calm, and on the...
I'm not talking about emotionally. Where are you physically right now?
What?
Where are you physically right now?
In a chair.
I'm in a chair.
What are you talking about, Mr. Henry?
What state are you in?
Oh, I'm in California. Oh, I see what you're saying. It doesn't matter, Phil. He can hop a boxcar, get here, slit my throat, and be back in his bunk by roll call.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's exactly what he's going to do.
I'm saying theoretically...
So, in other words, the guy's breaking out of Cook County Jail, hops a boxcar to California, slits Margaret's throat, gets back in a boxcar.
Not the same boxcar, another one.
How often do they run?
It ain't like it's a subway, okay? Then go back to Chicago and he's in his bunk by roll call.
Well, not just slit my throat, but take a few more liberties, if you know what I mean.
All right, let's get Mr. Stephen Bozell on the line here. Mr. Bozell, a construction contractor in Corona, California, a concerned citizen and member of what he calls in his neighborhood a permanent posse. What is that? When you say a permanent posse, what does that mean, sir?
First of all, Mr. Henry, I wanted to thank you for having me on. We don't call it a permanent posse. Essentially, I'm part of a rotating shift on a community posse. Which, if we get the word to ride out and help apprehend individuals who have escaped from incarceration, as a citizen, as a father as well, as a husband, as a son, as a nephew, as a cousin, I have familial ties. I'm a grandson too. trying to think of all of everything that...
So in other words, you have a big family?
I've got a big family, but I don't mean to focus on that. I'm also the member of a community that's very, very close and tight-knit, and we're tight, and we barbecue. Some of us have, and I'm not proud of this, but some of us have had relations with other men's wives. And the reason why I'm bringing all that up...
What is the point of this?
I'm sorry, Ms. Brave. The reason why I bring it up is to say that we do have a very close community, and we know each other's secrets, and we know each other's tendencies, and we know how to, you know, if someone's going to... I don't know if you ever played basketball. Have you ever played basketball, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Because I haven't, and...
So why'd you bring it up?
Because people say that when... Well, I'm sorry, you know...
Well, why... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell at... Why are you bringing it up?
Isn't it true in basketball they say that if a guy's head goes one way but his body goes the other way, then you don't... Then the head and the body don't... Well...
You talking about faking a guy out?
What's that?
You talking about faking a guy out?
Yeah, you fake a guy out, you know? That's what...
Okay, that's fine. So you're talking about the tendencies of your neighbors. What has this got to do with you being a part of this community posse?
Well, again, when the call goes out that an individual has escaped from incarceration from a locked facility, a facility that is in lockdown, and he's locked up, and he has been padlocked, and he has been shut down, there's no way, and now he's out. We'll ride out if the sheriff wants us to join him.
Now, what do you mean, ride out? I mean, you're talking like it's the 19th century or something.
No, sir. I mean, we're talking about a posse which is made up of community members, and they're in any way that you can involve the community in a proactive way. And when I say ride out, we want to at least imagine ourselves in a way on horseback, like the old posses of old. And so we want to imagine ourselves riding out. And, you know, just ride out, you know, I will stand in front of them and wave my hand and go, all right, let's head it up and ride it out, or however they say that.
Head it up and ride it out.
You're talking about like a cattle drive.
Yeah, that's exactly right, ma'am, a cattle drive. And I know it's not a cattle drive, but they say it, I guess you could say it on a cattle drive, they say it interesting.
Yeah, they'll say head it up, move it out.
What do?
They say head it up, move it out.
Head it up and move it out?
No, they don't. They say...
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. They say, head him up, move him out.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
Well, that took you long enough. What's wrong with it?
Because they're not going to have no cattle man who's going to go, head it up, move it out. You know?
Okay, are you done?
Phil?
Are you done? What has this got to do with anything?
Well, I thought, Mr. Henry, if I could jump in here.
Go ahead.
I think what they're trying to say is that's what we're trying to do with the posse that we have. All I want to say is I just want to ride out and do the best that I can. And
all right, that's fine, sir. So you ride out, or do you actually get in a car?
No, we don't do anything. We sit and we wait. And we're, in other words, we're at the ready, and we're ready to ride out. And we see ourselves riding out. Do we ever actually go anywhere? Well, not yet, you know. Now, this is an opportunity with this individual who I just heard you mention, Mr. Henry. You might have been kidding. Are you saying he's in a boxcar now, California bound? Or?
No, I did not. No, I didn't. I was joking. I'm not even joking. I was using that as an absurd eventuality. Ms. Gray was upset, fearing sexual assault.
And I think it is absolutely the lowest thing in the world, Phil, for you to minimize that when a woman is frightened.
I don't think I'm minimizing. I think what I'm doing is putting into perspective what a silly fear that is.
Well, I have to tell you, Mr. Henry, I'm a father, and I'm a husband, and I'm a nephew, and I'm...
Yeah, you already told us all the things you are.
All the things I am. You mean that simple bind song?
What?
All the things she said.
Oh, okay.
Simple minds?
The only simple mind here, Mr. Bozell, well...
I know what you mean.
I'm not talking about Mr. Henry.
Okay, so anyway...
Yeah, so anyway, you know, I got the word that he was coming out. You said boxcar, okay, whatever. But I want to alert everyone to this, that a man that escapes from prison, just as Mr. Henry said, is a man who is desperate, and he's a man that is going to go for broke. He's going to go and do what he can to stay free. You're not going to take him in any swift and easy manner. A lot of them are. Most of them aren't. And that guy comes out here, and he wants, you know, the thing that frightens me more than anything else is if, what if he wanted me or you, you see? I know my wife and my daughter, and I fear for them, but I think it's even more frightening to think that he's going to bypass them and go straight for...
You're worried that he's going to bypass them and go straight for you?
Is that what you're worried about?
What? Yeah, that's weird.
No, it's not weird. Have you ever been to jail? Have you been to jail, sir?
No.
I have not either, but I do know what they do there. So my fear is twofold. That he's in a boxcar and he's California bound. Okay, you said that's not happening. All right, thank God. But secondly, once he gets here, does he blow right past my wife and daughters and just in a single-minded manner just head straight for me?
So here's what I...
What do you think about that?
I'm going to tell you what I think about that. Here is a wife and your daughter and your son and all of them, but what you really fear is this guy is going to hop out of his boxcar.
Yes, sir, and I can tell you right now, we've got a rail yard not more than 3 miles from here. We're in Corona, California. There's a rail yard. They do some switching over here, and they do switching in Riverside. They also do switching in Colton.
Okay, so this guy is coming to California. There's a switching yard right there in Colton where he's going to jump out of his boxcar and head straight for your house and sexually assault you and leave your wife and daughter alone.
That is an eventuality to be feared.
And you fear that more than your wife and daughter being attacked.
I don't think there's a man out there that considers himself a healthy heterosexual. Boy, you just stepped in it right there. Are you kidding me, Mr. Henry? So in other words, you don't understand what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I totally understand what you're saying. I don't think it makes me... I guess you're going to say I'm a homosexual because I don't fear that. I fear more for my wife and daughter.
So you're fearing for your wife and daughter?
No, I'm not. But if I were in your position, I would fear for them more than myself.
Okay.
And in your mind, that means I'm gay.
I didn't say I said latently or closeted, yeah.
Okay, I'm a closet homosexual because I don't fear for my own self. I fear for my wife and daughter. Now... Having said all of that, with this guy in his boxcar coming to California, ready to hop out of that boxcar at the switching station in Colton and come directly to your house, what do you and your posse, what are you going to do?
All right, I can tell you're being...
No, Mr. Bozell, please answer Mr. Henry's question. I think he's being very direct and he's being very descriptive.
All right, yeah, but he's all being smartass about it.
No, excuse me, sir, don't use that language. I'll use that language, not you.
All right, but I mean, you're trying to...
Never mind what I'm trying to do. You're getting out of... The guy just got out of the boxcar, Mr. Bozell. He's on his way to your house.
I would then call up the posse, and I would order an immediate roundup.
An immediate roundup? What is that?
Yeah, what's a roundup?
Okay, you've never seen a roundup.
No, I think I have, but I don't know how that applies to law enforcement.
A roundup is... Mr. Henry, understand, please, that we're a posse. That means that we ride out... We use, okay, you'll probably laugh at this, but we do use lassos.
Ropes?
Yes, but in the form of a lasso.
Who's that?
It ain't a who, it's what you do with a rope.
It's a lasso is like a tied rope. And you use that to catch the criminal?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If we had a horse, we could sit on it and lasso the guy, but I guess that's not going to happen because it's not zoned for horses out here. So...
Well, you could get in your cars. See, you know, this whole thing sounds asinine, Mr. Bozell, and you know that it does.
No, sir, I do not.
Yes, you do. You know it sounds asinine, and you know that fearing for your own safety above your wife and daughter is ridiculous, and you know that this guy's not in a boxcar heading to California. If he is in a boxcar, the last thing he probably wants to do is draw any attention to himself. Probably wants to stay in the boxcar.
Well, he wants to stay in the boxcar until, Dan, don't dump this, because this is legal. And I know we're going to break. Unless a yard dick...
Oh, you said a dirty word.
No, she didn't. That's what they used to call the railroad police.
Yes. Unless a yard dick rousts him. In which case, then?
So if one of the railroad cops finds him in the boxcar, he's busted.
Yes. Other than that, I don't think...
We'll be right back. So there you go. That's the upshot on that. Stephen Bozell has nothing to fear. We'll be back with Mr. Bozell, talk a little bit more about that and the asteroid that's almost going to hit the planet Earth. All of that and more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth, is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and with me, Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here with us. We've been talking about a guy that escaped from a... Where are you, by the way, Mr. Bozell?
Well, right now, sir, I'm still at work. We have a refrigeration unit that we're trying to install here in a build-up that we just did. I'm a construction contractor, as you said, and we've been out on this job for 2 days, and it's been a difficult job because we had one of the we had a crane break. So
no, I hope nobody got hurt.
No, sir, no. But we've just installed this refrigeration unit, and I've got two of my crew on that. And as a matter of fact, if you could just give me 30 seconds, Phil, I would very much appreciate it.
All right, but you know we're on the air.
I understand, Jimmy. I want you to move that, slide that end in there. Yeah, now move that over there. Actually, I got to be honest with you. I'm not. There's no one here. I'm not talking any. I'm practicing how to talk because no one pays attention to me, you know, and that's one of the reasons.
Is that now? That's an interesting. Is that why you're a member of this this posse?
No. I mean, my wife says that. I mean, my wife wants me to see a doctor about it.
Your wife wants you to see a doctor about what? A psychiatrist?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you call a psychiatrist. It's the kind of doctor, yeah, it's a head doctor, but they don't know anything really about, it's a psychology doctor.
A psychologist?
Yes, not a psychiatrist.
Yeah. She wants me to, because I own a construction company, and I make a lot of money, but no one in my company listens to anything that I...
How is that possible, sir?
Well, my wife does an awful lot of the, she does a lot of the job bids, she does a lot of the plant, she works with the architects. You know,
well, what do you do?
I own the company.
Yeah, but I mean, what do you do?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I stayed home yesterday waiting for a call on this convict, and I had everybody in the posse on. We had a phone tree going yesterday, and I sat and my daughter got angry at me. It's embarrassing, you know.
Why did your daughter get angry?
I ate. She bought a box of these Fruit Loops or Fruity Pebbles, and I ate them. I nervously ate them as a snack. And my daughter come downstairs this morning, and she lit into me. I mean, you know, this is a girl who's, you know, 11, 12 years old, and I'm already on the outs with her school because I say a lot of things at the house that the school doesn't like. And one of them had to do with the fact that I was afraid of being in a pork, not pork, but I was afraid of being, you know, having this guy come and get me. And so, I'm sorry, Ed.
You know, Mr. Bozell, you were not prepared at all to come on this show tonight.
That's what I think.
Why do you say that? I mean, you know...
But here's why I say it. You got some story about a guy, you're afraid of him, now you're back on the air, your daughter's pissed because you ate her Fruity Pebbles, the school may yell at you, you've got a million different... You're supposed to go see a doctor because you can't even tell your own people that work for a company that you own, what to do. You were practicing. You might as well, you know what? You just opened up a can of worms. Why did you tell us that there was nobody there? You should have just faked it.
Because I'm a Christian, and I don't believe in lying.
Because you're a Christian and you don't believe in lying. All right. I mean, okay.
Well, don't make fun of his religion. Mr. Bozell, I understand that you're a Christian and you don't believe in lying, but wouldn't you rather lie than have us believe that you don't have the guts to talk to your own employees? Wouldn't you rather lie?
Yes, yes, I would. I would rather lie.
Then why don't you?
Because I'm a Christian. You see, here again, we get back to that.
All right, let's get off that kick. Bottom line here, have you seen hiding your hair of this guy?
No, I have not, but we are on alert, and I do want to give a phone number out before we go, Mr. Henry, just so people will know.
Okay.
And if you see this man, please call 7328. That's 7328.
That's not a phone number. That's like an extension.
Yes, sir. That's an extension to the sheriff's office.
Okay, that's an extension to the sheriff's office where?
Wherever this man is from. He is from, Chicago.
Is it the Corona, Sheriff?
No, it's not Corona. It's the extension. It's actually the extension to one of our posse members.
What is the phone number that people should call? Give us the phone number.
I can't give the whole number. It's illegal to do that.
Yeah, you can't give the whole number out.
Why can't you give the whole number out?
Because that's why in the movies they go 555. God, they go 555.
I can't take it anymore.
Mr. Henry, that guy had a lot.
I can't take it anymore, listening to him. In the movies, they go 555. I'll tell you something. This guy is not going to be caught in California. Wherever he's headed, it ain't here. This guy Stevens, that's his name. He's an Indiana man. He busted out of the Cook County Jail. The sheriff's office there has confirmed this guy's name is actually Stephen L. Robbins, 44, was released after appearing in Cook County court on armed violence and drug charges, and then the charges were dismissed, and the guy was released, but he's supposed to stay in jail. Good luck. If you're in Mr. Bozell's neighborhood, that's the guy who thinks he's going to protect you. Good luck with that, too. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Got other news, including this asteroid that's about to hit the planet Earth. You heard me right. We'll be back with information on that on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
That's got to be... I hope it does.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I just want to see if it'll kill it. Well, dinosaurs are dead.
Phil Henry. The dinosaurs. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show. I don't know. This, you know. The guy that runs Egypt right now, you know, is a big fat mess. And it's a mess, not so much because they got rid of Mubarak. It's a mess because somehow along the way, an uneducated, I'm sorry to have to say this, you know.
Wait a minute. What do you mean uneducated? These are the Egyptian people. They know what they're doing.
Oh, they do? Okay, well, that's fine. They elected a guy to be their president. Who has made comments about the Jewish people, has made comments, descendants of apes and pigs. Now, this is the kind of dumbass opinion that only you would hear in the United States, for instance, among very, very unintelligent, dare I say, low-class, low-brow slobs. Or they could be very, very wealthy, low-class, low-brow slobs. But nonetheless, that's, you know, in Egypt, it's the guy that runs the country.
Phil, I don't agree with those statements, but you can't.
Yeah, it's democracy in action.
Democracy in action. Now, I love that.
What are you talking about, Mr. Henry? Don't you think the people at Egypt, they know what they're doing?
Yeah, they built the pyramids.
I don't get, what is it with you people? Are you trying to tell, are you defending this?
No one is defending it, Phil. We're defending democracy. And I will tell you this. Bud has a very good point. These people built... What is it?
Pyramids.
Yes, I...
Call it pyramids.
The triangle shaped... I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me...
Phil, don't get on your high horse now. You're Mr. History. I'm not.
Everybody knows they're called the pyramids.
No, everybody doesn't know that. Everyone doesn't know that. I know that they are famous. I know that they're big. And people go, I don't know.
It's the pyramid. It's the triangle.
Triangle-shaped ones.
The triangle-shaped ones. That's the pyramids.
All right. The Egyptians built those, not Americans.
I don't doubt that Egyptians built them. Some Egyptians, whoever those Egyptians were, these Egyptians now, they ain't the ones that built them. They're just sitting there staring at them, wondering how they got built the same way you and I do. But as far as the guys that built them, those guys are long gone. And I'm not even saying that the guys that built the pyramids didn't have some really stupid views themselves, but let's give them a break. It was like 3,000, 5,000 years ago, whatever the hell it was, you know. So I'll give them a little bit of leeway there. These are modern people we're talking about now. The president of Egypt calling Jewish people descendants of pigs and apes. There's no way you defend this. There's no way at all. Egypt, nice going. Beautiful job. I got news for you. And don't start in with this whole, well, America's had, you know, leaders that are just as... Maybe we did have leaders that were just as bad as this in the 19th century. Maybe we even had them in the 20th century. Because God knows, you know, this kind of attitude was prevalent in the 20th century. But in a modern world, in the year 2013, in the 21st century, having been through what the world has been through, this guy is unbelievable, man. I mean, he's a you talk about a liability.
Well, he's at an international conference in Europe. He's probably trying to make some statements that'll be controversial, get some foreign aid.
Yeah. What? How's he going to get foreign aid saying stuff like that?
The man is the president of a country that's in big trouble, Phil. He's got to try everything.
Oh, okay. I really need some help for my country. I know. I'll offend the Jewish people and call them pigs and apes. In any event, look, I'm not going to get crazy about this because I know where these conversations go. They don't go anywhere. A key focus of Mohamed Morsi's one-day visit to Berlin was to seek support to rebuild a crumbling Egyptian economy. However, questions about his comments made in 2010... Oh, made in 2010. Pursued him throughout the day. The remarks drew attention earlier this month when an Egyptian TV show aired them to highlight and mock Morsi's current policies. A tight-lipped German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who earlier in the day had opened an exhibition marking the 80th anniversary. Oh, don't tell me. It's something having to do with the Holocaust. The 80th anniversary of, yep, Adolf Hitler's rise to power.
Yeah, but they were marking an anniversary. But they probably had, you know, a cake or, well.
They didn't have a cake.
Bud, just because they're marking the anniversary doesn't mean they're having a cake and balloons, okay? Adolf Hitler. Remember that name.
Okay, what do you want me to remember?
The guys, in any event, so this guy makes this comment. And it starts to come back on him. In the year 2010, he made this comment about Jews, and now he gets to Europe, and now he's asking for money. And do you think that this stuff goes away? This is a very active press that we have in this, in not only in Europe, but around the world. Egypt, even. And let me tell you something else. The Egyptian people are showing a little bit of moxie. I will give them this much. It seems to me that they're saying, you know what, enough of this being a third world country. We've had it. We've had it with being embarrassed. We've had it with being basically a big fat dung pit, you know.
Phil, I think the Egyptian people are very proud of their country. And for you to say what you just said is so typically Western.
Oh, it's typically Western. I'm telling you that these people are in that country are stirring up all that crap because they're sick and tired of being looked at like a bunch of rubes, you know.
A well-scrubbed hustling rube, is that what you're going to say?
Yes. You know what you look like to me? A rube. They're tired of being looked at like a bunch of farmers, a bunch of dumb, anti-Semitic, can't win a war against Israel, don't know how the pyramids were built, leather-wearing in the summertime, jive ass.
Yeah. All right. Now you got me.
Thank you.
Leather-wearing in the summertime.
So that's that, and I don't want to go any further. Now, we do have news of the...
Well, now everybody's going to care about that, and we're going to care about...
What's wrong, bud?
I want to talk about outer space.
We're going to talk about outer space, man.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you. You sound like a little girl.
Come on, man. We're going to talk about outer space.
I thought you were going to talk about Jews and everything.
Watch how you say that, okay?
What?
You talk about Jews and everything.
Well, I thought you were.
I brought up a little thing here that I wanted to mention, all right? So take a freaking chill. Giant ass... Is this what you want to talk about?
Yeah, I didn't say giant ass.
Giant asteroid.
You've got to complete your sentences, Phil. We're going to get phone calls now, and people... Well, they're not going to think this.
They're not going to think a giant ass is going to hit the Earth.
I didn't say that, but they're... All they heard was giant ass to hit Earth. And I know they don't believe that's going to happen, but they're going to wonder, well, what is going to happen? When you say a giant ass, what, Robert?
Well, I was going to say it's going to be a giant ass to hit Earth, like there'd be a giant, I don't know, like a giant Adolf Hitler or something, you know.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, that's funny. That's.
Oh, lighten up, will you?
I'm lightening up, and I'm trying to get through this. All right, giant asteroid will barely miss Earth next month. Space junkies, pay attention. On February 15th, an asteroid called 2012 DA14 will pass alarmingly close to the Earth. It'll be closer than the moon. In fact, it'll even be closer than the satellites that monitor our planet's weather.
See? I told you.
You didn't tell me anything. Hold on. It's still going to be more than 17,000 miles away, but that's considered a shave in space measurements. This is a record-setting close approach, said Don Yeomans of, and this part is, I can't read it because the page printed improperly. Most of us probably won't even notice it, though, unless we're armed with a telescope or a sturdy set of binoculars. Obviously, the asteroid isn't going to actually collide with the Earth. Otherwise, we'd probably all be freaking out and looting stores by now. But it doesn't look like the casual observer will even be able to view the rock as it flies by. And that's how this cat wrote the story. That's very funny.
I don't think that's funny at all, because it is going to be coming close. And what if, you know, I don't want to say anything, but there's one of these hydroxy-cut commercials where you lose weight, and the girl in this commercial has such a beautiful body, even though I'm not a lesbian, I got turned on by it. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you, wondering how the hell you could...
Look at...
That is a pretty nice ass.
All right, can we... We'll take a break. We'll take a break.
Stand up, I want to hear the story.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more on the asteroid, not the giant ass... The asteroid that's going to hit the Earth, not hit the Earth, it's coming close by. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you. Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and Bobby Dooley is going to be with us here in just a moment, and she's going to be talking with us about another special guest on the Bobby Dooley podcast, Sugar Ray Leonard, who I believe she interviewed today over at Molotov in West Los Angeles. We're going to talk with her in just a second, find out how that was, and we're all looking forward for this to the Bobby Dooley podcast beginning, which, Margaret, I know you don't know who's coming up. She doesn't know.
I don't know who's coming up because she forgot. She was going to tell me. I was going to write the column, and she forgot. So...
She forgot?
Yes, she forgot.
Yeah, but didn't you know?
I knew, but I forgot. That's why I called her. Oh, God, are we going to go through this again?
You called her up to be reminded of something that you forgot and she'd forgotten.
Yes.
I don't think that there's more than a couple that they've got scheduled right now, but I think that there are more to come, and I believe it's going to be a rollout. Is this the first day of... Yeah, next week I think they're rolling it out, aren't they?
I don't know, Phil. I forget.
You know something? You say that one more time, I'm going to call up Frank and have him take you in and have a CAT scan done.
No, you're not going to do anything of the sort. I forgot, and that doesn't mean that I'm forgetting, because... Phil, I swear to God, I'm going to do it.
No, you're not going to do anything. These threats I don't like. All right.
It's not a threat. It's not a threat against you. I'm going to throw myself out of a window. I'm going to throw myself headfirst off a freeway overpass. Do you understand? Now do you understand?
You know, Margaret, I had a friend die that way, okay?
I know that.
And that's why you brought that up?
Yes.
That's really cruel, Ms. Gray, to say that.
I don't care. It's about time.
It's about time for what?
I'm going to threaten to dive off a freeway overpass unless you tighten things up around here.
That's about the cruelest thing anybody's ever said to me.
Oh, bull. Phil, you know as well as I do. Never mind.
I know as well as you do what?
That you've fantasized about driving across... I'll say it.
I fantasized about what?
You fantasized about having me sitting in the car with you, driving over a freeway overpass, suddenly stopping, getting out, going around to the driver's side, pulling me from the car, and throwing me off the bridge in rush hour.
I have never in my life thought of any such thing.
Why would you say that? How do you know I said that?
I just have a sense that you'd like to see me flying off a freeway overpass, my legs up in the air, my skirt up over my...
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
You'd love to see me looking like, for all the world, a real ass.
Yeah, you're flying off a freeway overpass, and I see your dress go up. I wouldn't want to.
No, that's the last thing, Margaret, and I don't mean anything against you as a woman. I just don't want to do that, okay? I don't want to throw anybody off a freeway overpass.
Not even Hitler?
Oh, well, you're not... Get out of here! Bobby Dooley joins us here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association this evening. Ms. Dooley and her husband, the president and vice president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And starting this month in February is the the Bobby Dooley podcast. And here she is, Bobby Dooley. Bobby, how are you? Thanks for joining us. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Phil. We're really excited about it. And Steve is as well. And Steve was with me today when we interviewed the great Margaret.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
The reason why I had a very difficult time with that is that Margaret was saying to me, if you forget his name, think of that song, Sugartown.
By Nancy Sinatra, yes. And you'd never heard it.
I'd never heard it.
So I sang it for her.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, just show them what you did.
I sang the song. I said, if you forget his name, shoo, 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 shoo. Shush, 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 shush. I can't remember the rest of it.
So I started thinking shush.
Well, you know that the song is called Sugartown.
Wait a minute. If she can't remember the name of the song, what did you sing?
You want me to do it again?
Do it again so Phil understands.
The song goes, it's by Nancy Sinatra, it goes, I'm going to go to Sugartown. And then she sings, shush, 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 shush. Shoo, 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 shoo. And then I forgot, and so I just said, shoo, 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 shush up, or something like that.
Right, yeah, you said shush up or shh. So I said to, he sat down, and I said, and today we have as our special guest, shh.
Oh, Bobby, you can't be that much of a clod, dear.
Excuse me, I'm not a clod. You're the one that said, remember what I said. So I did remember what you said.
Dear, I didn't think you were going to go, shh. I told you the name of the song.
I know what the name of the song is, but I forgot. The name of the song's what?
It's Sugartown.
I know it's Sugartown. Steve?
No, it's called Sugartown, but she forgot about it, the sugar. And all it's done was shush up.
I forgot, so I thought the name of the song was Shut Up or Shush Up.
Well, darling, it's not So what did you think the man's name was?
I thought it was
Oh, boy. Man, oh, man.
Better watch out, because that's a very tough day. But we had a good interview. I'll tell him about the rest of it.
Yeah, Steve wants me to tell the rest of the story. Can I do that?
Yes. Did you finally interview him?
Of course I did, Mr. Hendry. And I would really thank you to just calm down.
I've been telling him that all through the show.
Yeah, he's been really upset.
Well, okay, I can understand that, but I'm just asking you, Phil, for the benefit of our listeners who are going to tune in to the Bobby Dooley podcast.
I don't think I'd have hit it that hard.
I don't either. I agree with Steve.
Well, I really want to emphasize that. That is the title of it, Steve.
Yeah, I know. You're going, and everybody's thinking like a woodpecker.
See, Steve's been saying it sounds like a woodpecker.
Why do you say that?
Because at the beginning of the woodpecker. Yeah, I think it sounds like it.
Are you talking about the Woody Woodpecker theme?
I don't stutter.
Okay, I don't want to talk to him.
Steve, you see what you did? You pissed him off.
I don't want to talk to him. Get him out of that room right now.
All I said, look at it.
I don't want to talk to him.
See what you did, Steve? Steve thinks that if I go, it sounds like the first two notes of Woody.
You've really got to be careful with that, darling. It's called the Woody Woodpecker theme.
That's it, the Woody Woodpecker, yeah. I know, I told Steve.
Hey, Steve, I don't want to talk to you, man.
I don't know.
You blew it. Anytime anybody says to me I don't stutter, don't give me that smart-ass stuff. You're on the air by virtue of my good nature.
Well,
I know. Let's not stretch the truth too much.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Are we stretching the truth? In any event, Ms. Dooley, how did it go today with Sugar Ray Leonard?
It went wonderful, Phil. Sugar Ray Leonard is just a dream. And we talked about everything. We talked about his family. We talked about his fighting career. We talked about being in the ring. What was it called? I know you don't want Steve in the room. He's in the next room. Is that all right?
Yes, that's fine.
What did they call it, Steve? What did they call it? The no moss fight. We asked him about that. And then I said to Shishup.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh, that's right. And by the way, he did say, call me Ray. Very sweet man. So I kept saying, Shishup. And he'd say, no, call me Ray. I finally, well, I never did remember his name, but. I know what I did, Steve. God, what a pain. So anyway, Phil, I said to him, you know what, Sugar Lad?
You didn't call him Sugar Lad. Please tell me you didn't say that.
I don't know, Phil. What's the big deal?
Darling, you don't want to go down lad or boy. You don't want to do that. Please, God, you didn't, did you?
Well, even if I did, I'm not going to admit it now from the way you two are reacting.
I'll take that as a no, you didn't.
But in any event, I said, why don't you and Tommy Hearns and Roberto Duran get together over salads? And he said, you know what? We're going to do that. We're going to do that. And I said, and wine, white wine and salad. And he said, I don't drink, but I will get together with the other two guys over salads. And I just thought that was really beautiful, Phil, because apparently Roberto Duran and Tommy Hearns were two guys that he beat up, and they're mad about it. Or they were.
Well, I don't know if they're mad about it. Did he say that he still has good conversations with them?
Yes, he says that anytime he wants advice, he talks to them. But I said, well, have you ever had a salad with them? And he said, no, I haven't. So.
That's interesting, darling. We should video that if they have salads. You should have a salad with them.
Why? Is my ass that big?
Frankly, yes.
You really are disgusting.
All right, hold on. Bobby Dooley with us. Anyway, thank you, Bobby. That was a nice little... I think we're done with Bobby.
No, I want to hear more about her ass. And
shut up. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. So the Bobby Dooley podcast with Sugar Ray Leonard coming up. All right, we're getting the details here and I'm sure that you've already heard this story of a bus driver that was holding some kids hostage, and apparently he's been shot and killed. That is the that's the word that I'm getting right here. A boy was held hostage in an underground bunker. That's it. And I guess there were some other kids. Now the other story is Dan Marino's love child. Who wants to, Margaret?
Well, we are going to get on the line, I believe it's Jack I. Gagner of the Milwaukee Lion Broadcasts, and he's going to comment on this piece of NFL news. Is that what it is?
Yeah, you get him on. He's not NFL in the NFL.
Doesn't matter. He does football, okay? So Jack I. Gagner is going to join us to comment on Dan Marino's supposed, well, I shouldn't say supposed, he has admitted to having fathered a child with a CBS employee in 2005. Now, the other story, though, was this... You know what? As soon as we collect the details on that, we will. As I said, I don't want to do a whole lot of late-breaking news stuff, you know?
Yeah, but that's important.
What about my reputation as a journalist?
What about it?
I want to do the bus driver that got gunned down holding those children hostage. This is juicy stuff, Phil.
I don't care whether it's juicy. I don't want to do it. Okay?
A bus driver gunned down in a puddle of his own blood. You don't think that's juicy?
No, I don't, and I don't want you doing anything on it, and I don't want to hear about it anymore until we get the details, okay?
Phil, don't please understand that I'm here.
Margaret.
I'll get up. If I've got to break into someone's radio studio somewhere, I'll do it.
Well, then I suggest you go ahead and do it, because we will do that story when I'm good and ready.
Didn't you see the headline?
Margaret!
The man was gunned down. It must have been...
Must have been what?
It must have been sexy. All right, there, I said it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, stop it, Phil. Put a lid on it, will you? You know what I'm saying.
No, I don't know what you're saying. No, I don't. Dan Marino admits to fathering Love Child, okay?
Yes, this is much better, folks. Dan Marino and his Love Child. We've got a story here as juicy.
Dan Marino admits to fathering Love Child. No athlete has been more revered in South Florida than Dan Marino. That's kind of a... That ain't very much of a big statement there, is it? You know?
Not really, no.
It's kind of an underwhelming statement, you know? No athlete's been more admired in South Florida. Not that Dan Marino, you know, he's admired all over the world, I suppose, by football fans. But as a person, as, in other words, a quality human being, I don't know anything about the guy. I thought he had kids and a wife, right?
Yes, he does have kids and a wife. That's why the story, well, it is juicy. In fact, it's juicier.
You knock it off. What is this juicy?
That's, it's journalism talk. This is juicy. Now, a guy with guns blazing, never mind. You don't care, I don't care.
Yeah, gunned down in a pool of his own blood. I get that, okay.
This is also juicy. Juicy. But it's not as juicy. That's what I'm saying. Have you ever seen a steak that has the blood of...
All right, Margaret, let me just do the story. Yes, I understand. By the way, speaking of juicy steak, Don Shula has a hell of a steakhouse. Now back to Dan Marino.
Yes, this brought to you by Don Shula's Steakhouse, one of his former players going straight to hell.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No athlete has been more revered in South Florida than Dan Marino.
To hell.
Thank you. The former Miami Dolphin quarterback has been admired for his Hall of Fame playing career, for the cut of his jib. I'm kidding.
What'd that mean, anyway?
I don't know. It's just some saying. The former Miami Dolphin quarterback has been admired for his Hall of Fame playing career, and for his off-field accomplishments. Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, don't kid about that, man.
Woo!
All right. Take it easy. For his off-field accomplishments, which include creating a foundation to help autistic children and their families. Now, having rolled out those paragraphs to try to cushion the blow of what I'm about to write, says Charlie McCarthy, but after 13 years after completing his last NFL pass, Marino finds himself in an embarrassing situation. The New York Post on Thursday reported Marino, 51, fathered a child out of wedlock in 2005 with a then 35-year-old CBS production assistant and paid her millions to keep her quiet.
How old would she be now?
What?
How old would she be now?
Well, let's see. 2005, and it's now 2013.
Yeah.
She was 35 in 2005, and now it's 2013. How many years have passed?
One, two, three.
What are you doing, bud?
I'm counting up. 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012.
Yeah?
Well, I don't know. It's not been a whole year. 2012. I'll call it 2012. That'd be the last one. Okay. Now.
All right. Now, how many is that?
All right. You have to count them. I'm holding up the fingers.
One.
Wait. Whoa. Hold on. Don't you know how many fingers you're holding up?
He's got to count them.
He's got to count them. You just counted out from 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Didn't you do that?
Yeah, that's the fingers what I got here.
Okay. You don't know how many fingers that is?
He's going to count them and tell me.
Let me just count them, Mr. Henry.
Are you nuts or something? Let me just count. There's 7 fingers there, man. 7 fingers. Okay?
Yeah, but most people have 10.
So?
If I got to make sure I don't have 10 fingers up here, how many do I have up?
7. I just told you got 7. What are you crying for?
That scares me.
Why? Because most people have 10?
Yeah.
You're holding 2 of them down there, see?
I know, but just the idea that you...
You're scaring him, Phil.
You know what, bud? I give up on you. I just give up on you. Nobody can be that much of a dumbass. I got 7 fingers out here, but he's going to count them to make sure I got...
I didn't say that. I said he's going to count to make sure.
Right, and then you got scared because when I said you had 7 fingers, you remembered you were supposed to have 10, and that freaked you out. What'd you think? You had your fingers were amputated or something?
Maybe. Maybe.
Bud, here's a paper bag.
Yeah, he's going to hyperventilate.
Ah,
God, that was disgusting.
Well, at least it kept him from passing out.
What do you mean, ah?
Oh, boy. Woo! Felt good. Woo!
All right, in any event, Dan Marino, 7 years have passed, so the woman would now be...
I didn't know it's a woman.
Because she gave birth to a baby?
Oh.
Well, it's a good question.
Yeah, it's a good question if they hadn't given birth to a baby, but they did, so they is a she.
You mean he is a she?
No, I made it eight. You know something...
Sorry.
For local news items this week, figured to be as stunning as learning a Miami anti-aging clinic allegedly sold performance-enhancing drugs to star athletes, then came the Marino bombshell. Boop! To his credit, he quickly released a statement admitting his transgression. This is a personal and private matter, Marino said in a statement. I take full responsibility both personally and financially for my actions now as I did then. We mutually agreed to keep our arrangement private to protect all parties. Ball. He's got a lawsuit.
Oh, good. That's just great. I bet you that makes him feel real good.
Well, I mean, come on. If they were supposed to be private and they signed papers to that effect, she's going to owe him some money.
Yeah, what's his wife going to say about everything like that?
I have not heard about the Marinos separating, so I'm assuming his wife...
Was she told or not?
I bet you she was. Well, I don't know.
That's a very difficult thing for a woman to have to stomach, your husband fathering a child with another woman, and then taking $2 million, or however much money it was, of your money, this is money that belongs to her, and having to pay off some slut. I don't care if she did work for CBS. See, I went through this.
I know you went through it. Frank had a...
Don't just...
What happened to Frank? Did Frank mount some skank?
You dirty...
Watch it now.
Tell it to shut up. Tell it to take that back.
Bud, take it back.
Take it back.
That's better. Yes, Frank got into it with some skank.
How much did it cost him?
Too much.
You're willing to quote a figure?
No, I am not. I'll tell you, it was five figures, a low five figures, and it was way, way too much.
A low five figures, huh?
Yes. And he got screwed.
Well, how much? A low five figures. How much was that?
It was $500,000.
Yeah.
A low five figures, $500,000.
I said a low five figures. What did I say?
$500,000.
I meant to say a mid six figures.
Yeah, that's a mid six.
Mid six figures. You meant to say a low. All right, so anyway, Dan Marino.
Just move on, Phil.
That's what I'm doing. This is a personal and private matter, Marino said for the 18th time while no one believed it. Marino is right when he says it's a personal matter. This is the articulation and the editorializing of Charlie McCarthy, not the dummy that Edgar Bergen had, a different Charlie McCarthy.
Right.
Marino is right when he says it's a personal matter. Unfortunately for him and other famous people, personal matters of celebrities become public in today's TMZ world. To say they became public in yesterday's, Walter Winchell world, too. To say Marino's news item was shocking is a bit strong. Call me jaded or cynical, but little shocks me anymore, says Charlie McCarthy. The fact that I'm made out of wood and have a guy's hand stuck up my... Well, and then he just stopped.
That bet Charlie McCarthy.
Used to be a dummy.
Yeah, so did you.
But hey, man. Hey, watch it. What? But not everything is an opportunity for a joke.
Most things.
I'm telling you. So fans shouldn't blame the ex-quarterback for failing them. They should blame themselves for creating in their minds an unrealistic role model. Look, I don't think anybody creates... I don't think anyone... And I just want to kind of update the general thinking. Nobody thinks of these guys as role models. No normal person thinks of these guys as role models. No way. It doesn't work that way anymore. You guys that keep writing about athletes as role models, I don't know what your problem is. No one looks at any athlete as a role model. We look at them as exceptional people. We look at them as exceptional in the with the skill set they have. They're a football player. We look at a guy like Dammer and go, that guy is one holy hell of a quarterback. If you want to talk about a role model in today's modern world, you're only talking about athletes so far as being athletes as role models. In other words, you might say to a young person, or the young person may say to you, I want to be the kind of player Dan Marino was. Perfectly legitimate. I don't ever hear anybody who's got 5 cents worth of brains ever say, boy, I want to live my life just like so-and-so.
Well, when they find out about what kind of life they have.
No, but even when they don't know. Look, at, let's say Marino never had an affair or fathered this child out of wedlock, whatever the hell. Let's say Marino has a wife, the kids, he's a quarterback. There's no kid out there saying, boy, I want to have a wife and 4 kids and, you know, and then be a quarterback. No, the kids are mostly saying, I want to play football like Marino. I want to be able to release the ball like Marino. You know, I want to be able to, Dan Marino had that Joe Namath release. You know, it takes the ball back,
I don't understand.
I can't explain it, Margaret.
It's a football thing. You wouldn't understand about it.
Well, do you know?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, you take the ball and throw it. But you got to know how to throw it.
No, bud.
It's the release point.
Yes, Marino's famous for that very quick release. He brings the ball back no further than the back of his head, okay?
So he brings it around the back of his head. What are you saying? Oh, he's going to cry.
No, I'm not crying. I'm saying, Margaret, he brings the ball back this far around the ear and then releases it. Most quarterbacks bring it way back. So, the fact is, this is the kind of thing that some people would say, well, I want to pattern myself after Dan Marino that way. There are no sane human beings in America today, nowhere, not sane anyway, that say, oh, my role model, the way I want to live my life, Dan Marino or whoever the hell, you know, this guy, Kaepernick, any of these guys, you know, Sanchez, nobody.
Well, I would want to live my life like Mark Sanchez either, going to a football team as bad as the Jets, then having to play in the shadow of Rex Ryan, literally.
Fine. Well, let's take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. More to come here. All done there with the discussion of what's his ass.
Who?
What's his name? I forget. Dan Marino. That's it.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
That's insane. Well, that hostage situation, and, you know, it's just, it's not any material that I want to deal with, Margaret, so thank you very much.
Well, I...
Never mind. Nonetheless, it's a hostage situation that's going on in Alabama, and I think that, you know, I think that, just my own personal view, and this is just me, I want stuff to just kind of, I want to make sure before we say anything that we know what the hell happened and what's happening. But right now, it's still going on. All right. Jack I. Gagner is the play-by-play announcer for the Milwaukee Lions and is going to join us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to talk about the Dan Marino love child situation. A tough one. There's no question about it. We were talking about, Jack, you know, role models. And how are you, by the way, Jack?
I'm feeling very good, and great to talk football again.
We're talking about role models. And you're a play-by-play guy, so I don't know that it's necessarily your up your alley. But Dan Marino is a role model. What do you think there was some before this whole love child thing came out? Do you think there was some validity there?
No, I agree with you. I don't think there's validity in any athlete being a role model for any kid, unless, as you said, Phil, the kid wants to pattern his football playing after his favorite star. I think you got something there. I think that's obviously that's a valid thing to look up to a player for. But I agree with you. I don't think that looking up to a player for his lifestyle is a smart thing at all, because these guys are going to wind up doing something. I'm not going to say it's disappointing. I'm just going to say they're going to wind up doing something that, if you're a kid, and let's just say you're a kid of 11 or 12 and you admire, let's say, Tiger Woods, as a lot of kids have and possibly still do. And then you find out that Tiger Woods has all of these girlfriends. He's got a wife, he's got children, he's got all of these girlfriends, and they're all you know, some of them are prostitutes, some of them are porn, porn, adult film, however they say it, actresses. And you may say to yourself, as an 11-year-old kid, that looks pretty good to me. You know, I think I'd like to have a life like that. But you also know, if you're 11 years old, that to have girlfriends like that and to have Playboy bunnies or pornography actresses or this, while you've got a wife, is going to give a lot of bad publicity. It's going to bring a lot of reporters snooping around. Suddenly they're going to be turning your life upside down. And as an 11-year-old kid, you got to weigh that. And
what 11-year-old kid's going to weigh stuff like that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, today's 11-year-old kids, while they may want to have the Tiger Woods life where he's got all of these different women, and they're, some of them are prostitutes. I don't think prostitute, but they're in the adult movies. And you're, as an 11-year-old kid, the first thing you're thinking of is, that's for me, you know, and I hate to say it, although I would feel bad if I didn't say it. You know what I mean, Phil?
No, I don't.
Well, I would feel bad if there's an 11-year-old kid out there who sees a Tiger Woods have all of these girlfriends, some of whom are in pornographic films, and he says to himself at the age of 11 or 12 or 13, nah, I don't want that. That's no good for me. I would feel very weird having a kid like that eating the food that I bring home and put on a table and putting on the clothes that I provide, see?
Why do you say that, Jack? This is Margaret Gray. I don't understand.
You don't understand? What part don't you understand?
I don't understand the part when you say you'd feel weird about having a kid like that in your house, one that doesn't want to have the Tiger Woods lifestyle with the girlfriends.
Well,
I think I know what Jack's referring to.
Well, I'll try to explain it. I think there's something wrong with any 13-year-old boy that doesn't want to come home to a house filled with some of this action, if you want to call it that, that Woods was getting. I'm not exactly sure.
I see what he's saying.
Are you saying that because these boys are going through their puberty, that they're pubescent, that they are, their hormones are raging, that therefore it is normal for them to want to bed adult film or pornographic film actresses?
Yes, I am. I'm saying that that's a normal instinct. And I would feel very strange. So if you've got a kid and he says, I don't really want to go to bed with some hot-looking CBS, well, I don't know about that. I don't know what she looked like. I'd have to look at her first to see whether or not the kid's normal or not. And
all right, Jack, we got to take a break, okay?
Well, can I see, can I get a look on the face of this thing?
No, we don't.
He is an idiot.
All right. Thank you very much, Jack I. Gagner there from the Milwaukee Lions. Next hour, more on that and more on everything. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, now streaming on your iPod, on your smartphone, on your
Phil
iPad,
Hendry.
On your...
Thank you, Pat.
Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
All right, let's can that music. God, I mean, you know what? One of the things about talk radio that people in talk radio overdo the rock and roll because they haven't got a freaking show to begin. I'm in such a foul mood now because that damn feeds that froze up again. The video cast feed froze up again. If you're listening, you probably know. If you're a BSP, you probably know. It didn't freeze up. It has gone back to the beginning. Now, let me just say one thing to anybody technical that's listening to this broadcast tonight, which I don't think so. You know how technical people are. Once they think everything's fine, they go to bed. You better get a handle on this five-hour limit on this thing. That's what the last thing I heard from Alex before he left, and I says, well, you know, if you do the Super Bowl, make sure that you limit it to 5 hours because it doesn't do any longer than... I said, oh, that's fine. We only do about a... I said, we do a three-hour radio show. We also do an extra one-hour pre-show. So what I'm getting here is a repeat on the feed of the pre-show. That's what you guys are seeing right now, which I guess is okay. and I got nobody. Everybody's in bed because it's after midnight. Forgive me for mentioning some behind the scenes here, folks, as we discuss our video cast. But as I said, this is an ongoing. I'm about to give up, just, you know, quit, because if I don't have the proper mechanics at work on my video cast and on the website, there's no point in doing this radio show, because as you well know, as I've been trying to educate you guys, the radio business itself is as dead as Custer. So the only way in the radio business that we make any money is by expanding into other media. And if I haven't got my video cast tonight, what the hell's the point of me being on the radio? So, you know, if there's anybody within earshot, if the good Lord on high is listening, we're all going to heaven in a pea green boat, man. It'll start raining whiskey and beer. Anyway, this weekend we are planning on having the Super Bowl football with Phil Sunday afternoon. With tequila shots, I'm not driving. I don't know about you. Welcome back to the show. 877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. Just shut that down, bud.
That's a video cast.
I know, but I don't need to see the pre-show because I've already seen that. In fact, that was a part of it. Welcome back to the program here. And by all means, do get a backstage pass, because either way, the show is going to be on demand tomorrow. That's the good news. But that, as far as I'm concerned, man, that news ain't good enough. I want the really good news is to have this damn stream. Where tomorrow is a work day, right?
Tomorrow is Friday. If I were you, I would fire this company that's providing this so-called iOS stream.
I don't want to fire them. They're people that I want to fire. They're going to just get it right. That's all. Just get it bloody right, man. God. All right, we had some Hollywood news, but I could care less. The only Hollywood news that I really care about, listen to this. This is not even Hollywood news. This is just good old-fashioned, stupid American news. Now, when you think you've heard it all, I can guarantee you this, you know that you haven't, folks. Now, there's a guy, and I don't know exactly, where is this story? Wait till you hear this. There's a guy, what state he lives in? Well, I think it's Tennessee, and I don't say that for any reason other than to say he lives in Tennessee. And he had a male American bulldog. Beautiful animal. And they just showed, there was a photograph of this beautiful dog at the pound at the Jackson Rabies Control Animal Shelter, to be specific, in Tennessee. And guess why this dog was in the pound? Was he a stray? No. Does he have a disease? No. Is he, you know, is there anything wrong with him? No. The only thing wrong with this dog was that he got in the possession of a world-class jackass. Because the dog was turned over to the pound by its owner, whose name, mercifully for the owner, is unknown to me, because this dumbass thought the dog was gay.
Well, ain't there gay animals and stuff?
Shut up, man.
No.
I don't know if there's gay animals, bud. Even if there are gay animals. This guy took the dog back to the pound when he saw his dog, quote, hunching or, you know, dominating another dog. It looked to this dumbass that his dog was trying to have sex. This male dog was trying to have sex with another male dog. So as far as he was concerned, this brain surgeon, the dog must be gay. If you know anything about dogs, it is a domination posture more than anything else. And that's really, really big in the world of dogs and cats and, well, probably in pack animals. Because they want to know who the head of the pack is, you know. That's why Steve Bozell, remember that one time?
Steve Bozell is a mental case.
Yeah, he tried to get it. He tried to hunch a dog.
Yeah, Steve Bozell wanted to show his domination over a dog once. Anyway, a Facebook user under the name Jackson Madison Rabies Control Stalker often visits the kill shelter looking for dogs to advertise for adoption. A 39-year-old mother and animal lover featured this unwanted dog on her page in a post that received more than 4,200 shares and 1,405 comments. Dig this. This guy, and she has this underneath the dog's picture, this guy was signed over to rabies control not because he's mean or because he tears things up, but because his owner says he's gay. He hunched another male dog, meaning, you know, had that posture, that domination posture. So his owner threw him away because he refuses to have a gay dog. Now, even if that weren't the most asinine thing I've ever heard, it's still discrimination. Don't let this gorgeous dog die because his owner is ignorant of normal dog behavior. He's in kennel 1011, and he will be put down tomorrow because there is no room at the inn. Now, this woman was saying that the dog was about to be euthanized. What the owner of the dog obviously didn't know, as the Atlantic Wire points out, is that dogs often mount each other to show dominance. There, and I didn't even read that part.
Yeah, you read that part to know about...
I did not read that part. I already know it.
Are you sure you know that?
Yes, I know that. It's not even that big of a thing to know. Facebook users expressed their outrage in their comments section. Please tell me this dog was adopted and that we can put the ex-owner down for ignorance and sheer stupidity, wrote one. A woman named Stephanie Frines, reportedly connected to the no-kill animal shelter Woof Connections, answered the call of hundreds of commenters who frantically encouraged someone to adopt the dog before his 1 p.m. kill time. Frines said she would adopt the dog as soon as possible. She said, quote, I am adopting this big boy first thing in the morning. He has, then she gave some name, who will help with the cost as well as many others in the area. He'll be neutered. Tested and vetted. He'll be temperament tested and then placed in a rescue verified and approved home. Woof Connections is pulling many pups tomorrow. Wonderful. They need help with vetting. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so he was adopted.
Well, that is good. Who is the jackball?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I'd give anything to know the name of this dumbass. Anything.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You going to stalk the guy and everything?
No. No, I would not. I'm not even saying I would even make his name public, but I would hold his name in reserve for some future, shall we say, operation.
Oh, get a load of you. What are you, a SEAL all of a sudden?
I don't want to say it this time because it's national security.
Yeah, national security. You'll probably use that guy's name, spray paint his name on a bathroom stall.
Yeah, you probably say, hi, my name's Mary. And here's my phone number, and it's really that guy.
Not a bad idea. People like that have got to be made an example of. Not because necessarily it means a dog's going to die, because God knows dogs, you know, die, and we've got lots of dogs. Not because, you know, it's not even an animal cruelty thing. Not even because he's stupid. We've got millions of those, too. We just need to, you know... Let people know. I just think we need a bulletin board of dumbass. Because as you know, and I don't know if I've actually articulated this.
Oh, you're not going to get on the kick about how you want to make it illegal.
Yes, I do. I want to make certain levels of stupidity criminal.
How are you going to do that? You kidding me? How are you going to beat a spade flush?
Hey, man, watch that stuff, okay?
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Bud, watch your racism.
That was the one time that thing that I said.
Yeah, watch it, man.
How you gonna beat a spade flush? Listen, I'm telling you, that comment you made right there, I would make that not because it's racist, because it's stupid. I would make it illegal.
Well, are there any racist comments that are not stupid?
No. No. I tell you what, just so people know that I'm not trying to control speech, we won't make it about racism. It won't be about racism. Forget it, okay? But if you hear a guy say, if a guy... And it's not even about being anti-gay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if a guy turns a dog back into the pound because he thinks it's gay, yes, then that's dumbass, and that guy goes right straight to jail, you know.
Well, what are you going to have him arrested for?
Dumb. Violating the statute against dumbass.
Violating the statute against dumbass? Bad, you'd have to throw everybody in jail.
No, you would not. What are you, all of a sudden singing or something?
Yeah, what was that, Bud? That was like a speech.
Do that again.
Do what?
Bud, you dumbass?
No, I just said, if you get a fuck, get everybody in jail, cut dumbass, that put bad man in jail.
Doing shorthand.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're doing a shorthand. Gotta get everybody dumbass. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is, yeah, there's certain kinds of stupid behavior that should be made illegal, and I would very definitely let this fall in that category. All right, we're going to take a break here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our final hour. Chelsea Handler and Pierce Morgan get into a fight. We'll find out about that when we come back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back here. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. So we got the gay dog story out of the way. Oprah sprained her back lifting flowers sent to her by Tyler Perry.
So what is this? Tyler Perry presents Oprah Winfrey with a broken back.
Yeah, that's the way you can say it. That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess so. Tyler Perry's birthday gift to pal Oprah Winfrey backfired, so to speak. He sent her a bouquet of flowers for her 59th birthday. Boy, I got to tell you, not that I, you know, I'm not going to blow off the fact that Oprah's got a bad back or that she's 59, but the real story here for me is Tyler Perry and how wealthy he is.
Well, she's not poor.
Now, I know she's not poor, but I shouldn't say how wealthy he is. That guy Tyler Perry, man, he's doing something. He's got something going on all the time. He's got movies that he's producing. He's got TV shows that he's producing. He's got... It's unbelievable. Tyler Perry presents this. Tyler Perry presents that.
Yeah, it's what I said. Tyler Perry presents Oprah Winfrey.
Name ain't Dopra, man.
Yeah, it is.
No, it ain't Dopra. Oprah.
Oh, Oprah Winfrey with a herniated disc.
Tyler Perry presents Oprah Winfrey with a herniated disc. Isn't that cute?
All right. Well, okay. So all of those jokes aside, Perry sent Winfrey a bouquet of flowers for her 59th birthday, but she injured her back picking them up. Perry posted a mea culpa on Facebook under the title, "I Feel So Bad." Well, how bad do you feel, man? "I like to send really large flower arrangements to people for whatever occasion because I can afford to, and I like them so big that people can't pick them up," said Perry. "I'm only joking, ha ha. I sent one to Oprah yesterday for her birthday. She strained her back picking it up. No joke." Why would it be a joke? You like to send really big flower arrangements. Of course she's going to strain her back. Unless, of course, she, you know, has an assistant to pick those things up. That's what you, Oprah, you got the money. Hire someone to pick up flower arrangements. Anyway, feel better, Oprah. Happy birthday. Sorry, ha ha. If you think I'm going to send you a check for the medical, ha ha ha. It just ends with a bunch of ha ha ha's. Now,
let me see that.
I'm kidding. No, he didn't say that. The day before, Winfrey shared on her Twitter page that she was spending her birthday with longtime sweetheart Stedman Graham. Well, that's nice. "Enjoying lunch with Stedman. No plans to leave PJs all day," she wrote alongside a picture of the two of them.
What's PJs?
Pajamas. Pajamas.
Oh.
I thought, well, there was a coffee house called PJ's.
No, it's not. She's not spending the whole day at a coffee house.
Why not?
Because that's her. It's her birthday. What's she going to spend all day in a coffee house for? What the hell is she going to do?
Poetry reading?
Oprah Winfrey's going to spend all day in a coffee house listening to poetry readings. Well, maybe. I don't know what her thing is. But I think PJ in this case is pajamas because it's lowercase. The following day, she posted a picture of her surrounded with flowers, along with the words, "Thanks, everyone, for your birthday wishes." Then, the next day was a picture posted of her laying flat on her back in obvious agony with flowers on top of her and an ambulance outside, the door wide open, cops standing there taking statements and no, I'm just kidding. Just in case Perry was still feeling bad, she posted a message for him, too. "Tyler Perry, no need to feel bad. Love the roses. Got an extra day in bed with rest. Can you say ice pack?" "You can't? Well, you better start talking that way because my lawyer..." Nah, I'm just...
All right. We get it, Phil. You wish that she would have sued Tyler Perry, right?
No, not sued him. I just... it would have been funny, though. Last October, Winfrey inked a multi-year deal with Perry under which he will executive produce, write, and direct two new scripted series for OWN, Oprah Winfrey Network, marking the first foray into scripted programming for Winfrey's fledgling network. It's pretty cool.
What's that mean?
Well, it means that Oprah Winfrey's gotten big enough where she has a network now that not only is it a network that has, you know, a 24-hour schedule, but she's also now originating programming. So that's cool. I mean, that's original programming for her network in much the same way that the other networks do. Now, I don't know. She's not going to be a player, really. It's not a network unless you own television stations or you own a significant number of signal redistribution points, whatever you want to call it, that reach enough homes whereby you are now beginning to, you know, make some serious inroads into the viewing habits of Americans. But she's on her way. That's a pretty interesting thing.
I don't know what you just said, but that was...
Yeah, that sounded pretty impressive.
You don't know what I just said. What do you think it takes to have a network?
No, I know what you mean about redistribution and making, It just sounded, what she needs is to reach a lot of households.
Yes, that's right. But there's a way to do that.
Well, I know, but I don't think we need to know that. She needs to reach a lot of households.
Yes, but Margaret, that's how you would do your show, but I'm doing my show my way.
Here we go. I'm going to get another speech.
Bad girl.
Yeah, you're a bad girl.
Hey, wait just a minute.
You always love to give your speeches, Phil.
No, wait a minute. No, hold on. I'm just saying, it's not enough on my show to say that all she needs to do is reach enough households. I like to say, how do you go about doing that? If you have a network and you want to reach a lot of households, well, how do you do that? You got to get on a lot of cable systems. You got to make sure that those systems reach a lot of homes, et cetera, et cetera. I think you also have to own a few over-the-air TV stations, you know.
What's an over-the-air TV station?
It's like, you know, Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel, you know.
Yeah, but Dave, ain't that like on delay?
Not on delay, man. On demand.
Hey, bud, quit trying to make stuff more complicated than it is, okay?
What's Channel 0?
Channel 0 is on demand, you're right. But the other channels, 2, 4, all that jazz, those are over-the-air TV stations, man. Okay? And I think in order for you to make serious inroads as a major network, you got to own some of those. You got to own those TV stations. You've got to own, like, the news channels and the local... I don't know, you know, I just... That's how Fox did it. That's how CBS did it. That's how NBC did it. That's how ABC did it. And Fox is a fairly recent success story.
What was Fox's station in, for instance, Los Angeles? Was it Channel 11?
Yeah, it was Channel 11. Still is Channel 11. And in New York, it would be wherever there's a Fox-owned television station, you know, or their affiliates. Now, as far as Oprah goes, that's what she's got to do. She's got to go into New York. She's got to go into L.A. She's got to go into Chicago. She's got to go into these places and buy those TV stations. And they're not cheap. In those markets, they're not cheap. But, you know.
Well, man, she got the money. If she don't have the money.
What about if Tyler Perry bought those stations and then donated them to Oprah as a, I'm sorry for destroying your back so you walk around like the Hunchback of Notre Dame for the rest of your life?
I don't think it's that bad.
You don't think it's that bad?
I don't think it's that bad of a back, let me put it that way. And I'll tell you one other thing. Walking around like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, first of all, that's not even close to what the problem was.
Now, wait a minute. If you destroy your... Didn't you say you walked over, hunched over like your rear end's in the air?
God, what's that about?
Hey, man, if you've ever gotten a bad back, it ain't fun. I got a bad back when I was a 19-year-old construction worker, and I mean, to this day, it still bothers me. It doesn't bother my back anymore. My back was so bad, now my neck is bad. And yeah, I walked around bent over with my rear end up in the air. What are you going to try to say about that?
Nothing.
We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me, Harvey Wireman, and we're talking with Harvey's an attorney at law. We're talking about Anthony Weiner and what's the worst possible thing that could happen. And again, the possibility that these pictures or any of them found their way into the Twitter account of an underage woman. Now, we don't have any evidence of that.
Yes, and if I could interrupt, Phil, I wish you would make that point.
I'm making the point now.
But you have not made that point in this hour, and I think people are having the impression that this man sent pictures, these pictures of himself to women, to children.
All I know is what he said, okay?
I know what he said.
Well, he said that maybe. Maybe. He didn't say no. He didn't know.
Well, how are you supposed... Here, let me... Again, we are missing the point here. This is a United States congressman. You were talking about if your daughter got a picture of his... Are you telling me you want this guy fired? I'm going to ask you a question, okay?
Yes, I'd want him fired. I'd want him arrested.
I'm going to ask you a question, and you may think this is stupid. What if Abraham Lincoln sent a...
Oh, come on, Harvey.
No. If Abraham Lincoln, you're telling me that has no...
That's a ridiculous hypothetical that, you know, if you got to reach for an extreme like that...
That's not an extreme. I'm saying that in some instances... It's no longer a crime. It's you should be flattered that your daughter...
I'm going to be flattered that my daughter got a picture like that? You got to be crazy.
Well, then I go back to the question about Abraham Lincoln. Do you want Abraham Lincoln fired from the job that he had as President of the United States, who saved this country, if he sent a picture of it to your kid?
You're not even talking about the Abraham Lincoln that I know from history.
No, you got an idea that Abraham Lincoln was some kind of an altar boy. Didn't you tell me that Lincoln liked women?
You know what? Yes, he liked women. Yes, he liked women. And he was very familiar with women before he got married. As President of the United States, he was a faithful husband.
Well, I don't know that that's the case.
And for you to bring him up in this context, I think, really cheapens the... there's no point. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to Catherine in Tucson. Go ahead, Catherine. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Good morning.
In my opinion,
this man would defend a rapist because a woman happened to walk past him wearing a miniskirt, and he couldn't possibly restrain himself. Because a woman wore many skirts.
No, ma'am. No, that's not true. That's not true. I'm not talking about rape now. But what if Abraham Lincoln had you pinned on a car?
I'm not talking about rape. I'm saying you would defend the rapist because you are defending this no good Nick and against this type of thing. Just because he was elected means absolutely nothing. He was elected to represent the people. He's distracting the people from the job that has to be done in this country at large. The man needs to go. Pure and simple. Republicans can get away with this. Democrats should not be able to.
Mr. Henry would not answer. He wouldn't answer my question. I ask you, if Abraham Lincoln pinned you down in an alley one night.
Wait a second. We're not going to be talking about that.
You're crazier than Anthony Weiner. I got to hang up.
Well, fine, you can hang up, but the question still stands. If that woman was walking down the street one night, Phil, and Lincoln jumped out from an alley and dragged her in against a garbage can...
Why in the hell would you talk like that?
Because we have to begin to discuss the... If you want Anthony Weiner out of his job, okay. All right, fine. I'll be the first guy to go to his office. I'll be the first guy to grab him by his lapels, and I won't show him the door. I'll open a window, and I'll say, Weiner, you see that? That's about three floors down. You see your car, don't you? And he'll say, yeah, I parked it near the front door because I knew I had to move some boxes today. I said, well, guess what? You don't have to worry about moving boxes. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. I'm going to send you into your car right now. And I would lift him with what strength God still gives me.
I understand. So you'd be the first guy to get rid of him.
Yes. Yes.
But it just so happens that we've got a problem now, you say. And the problem is Abraham Lincoln.
No, it's not Abraham Lincoln.
Well, your point is, I know what your point is. Your point is, how can we fire a man from a job like United States Congressman when we could very well be firing from the job someone who is brilliant, someone who's going to help the country, someone who's this and that?
That's exactly correct. And on top of that, even more to the point, I think any member of Congress, because of the job they have, which is essentially so pressure-packed that the fate of the free world rests on their shoulders.
All right, Harvey, I mean, you're giving a speech now.
Will you allow me? Mr. Henry, you invited me on your program.
But you're giving a speech now, and I don't think you're addressing the problem.
I'm addressing the problem very, very well. You don't want to hear the answer. And Mr. Henry, I'll tell you something else. I took time away from my dinner tonight so I could sit here and talk with you about this problem that you are
Hold on for a minute, will you?
What is that?
I'm making some soup. You got a problem with that? I took time away from my dinner tonight. I had nothing to eat. I'm 81 years of age, and I had nothing to eat tonight.
I'm sorry.
And I took time out of my night, and usually I'm in bed. My daughter's here, and my son-in-law and my grandkids are here. Okay, and I've given up my bedroom to the grandkids. I gotta sleep on a sofa tonight. So you'll pardon me if I'm a little bit. It needs a little more time. You'll pardon me if I'm a little bit more, Hold on for a minute. Would you please heat that up somehow? Because if this microwave doesn't work. Yeah, that's fine. I'm in the kitchen right now, Phil. So here's what I'm saying.
All right, I understand what you're saying, that you took time out and you are entitled to be heard. I'm offended that you would talk about Abraham Lincoln.
Then I'm offended you're talking about Anthony Weiner.
Abraham Lincoln didn't send a picture of his genitals to anybody. Not that we know of. History has never recorded such an event. History has never recorded any kind of an event, any kind of an action by Abraham Lincoln that would compromise his morality, integrity, or the office of the president. There was never any hint of that with Abraham Lincoln. Not to say that there wasn't with other presidents. And I'm not talking about guys like Kennedy. Going back further, Harding, you know.
Oh, Harding. Harding was an animal. Harding was a walking, crawling animal. He had him going out the front door and...
All right, fine. I don't know and I don't care. But if we're talking about Anthony Weiner, that's who we're talking about. And to say that the President of the United... to bring Abraham Lincoln, that's kind of almost like the Hitler... What are you doing, man?
I'm going to heat up this soup. It's ice cold. Ice cold. Hold on. Give it to me. Boy, that's lousy Lipton soup. All right, you were saying?
Do you need to heat anything else up?
Wouldn't you like to know?
All right, what I'm saying is the following thing.
Do I need to heat anything? He asked me if I need to heat anything else up.
Who's in there anyway?
I got the guy, the butler. Eddie. you wish you had a butler named Eddie. Watch this. Hey, Eddie. Give me some scotch. How about that, huh?
Harvey, I know you've got money.
Better believe it. And you know how I made my money, by the way? I made my money not as a crook, not as a shyster. I made my money honestly. I took a third of all the settlements in the civil. I had very wealthy clients. I did a lot of pro bono work. Scotch, yeah. Give me bourbon.
Oh, he ain't that good.
So the point that I'm making with you, and I don't know if you even have any listeners left.
We probably don't, man, between you, heating your soup and this guy getting you bourbon or scotch or whatever. Oh, come on, will you?
It's cold. I'm making some coffee. Screw the soup. I don't want that.
Coffee's going to keep you awake.
Oh, is that right? What are you, my daughter all of a sudden? I want coffee. So I went to the library, and I looked up this guy, Anthony Weiner, okay? He's a smart guy. He's a guy that Obama needs, and he went ahead and he tweeted a picture of it to a woman. Now, if he tweeted it to these kids like you think he did, like you try to get everybody to believe that he did, which I think is really wrong of you, Mr. Henry, because...
Oh, man, if you use that microwave one more time...
You know what? I'm sorry, but I like it real hot. No, way hotter than that, okay? No, way hotter. I want it so hot, it'll burn the flesh right off my tongue. Come on. Come on, do it. I just don't, these microwaves don't do it for me, man. I like a real, yeah. Heat it up. There you go. Now, one of the things that I do, Phil, I don't know if I told you this or not. I quit smoking, as you know, about 2 years ago. I smoked cigars up until 2 years ago.
I didn't know that.
And I quit by using aversion therapy on myself. I didn't go to a doctor. I didn't go to any smoke enders. I didn't do any of that stuff. And I use aversion therapy. And one of the things... Here, hold on for just a second. Get it a little hotter, will you? There you go. Yeah! One of the things I do is I take a boiling hot liquid, like I've got right now.
Yeah?
And I'm going to open up my underwear.
Harvey, wait a minute.
Yeah, hold on. And pour it in.
Yeah!
did you just do?
You correct me.
Who's that?
I said George.
George, where's Harvey? What did you just do?
What do you mean, what did I just do? I just poured the cover. Now, that's going to be another 2 years with no cigars.
That's how you quit smoking cigars, huh?
That's it. I still got that phlegm in my throat, though. So, and what I would suggest, if you want to break Wiener of sending pictures of it to 15, here you go right here.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right, well, Harvey, thanks.
Say it again?
Thank you.
What's that?
Thanks a lot, okay?
What are you yelling for? Yeah, real hot. Good and hot.
Thank you very much.
Oh, don't you want to stick around and hear this?
No, I don't. Thank you very much. What a sick animal.
Yeah, but I think I have some good ideas about Wiener.
Oh, is that right? Well, maybe one day when we get a straitjacket around him, we can bring him in here and he can talk about him.
What is he doing? A hot thing pointer on his thing?
That's what it sounded like to me. All right, so anyway, thanks very much. And if I can just summarize, it sounds to me like Harvey's saying, you know, Anthony Weiner is, it's possible this guy could be a great American, and we don't have enough Jews in Congress as it is, so let's let him off with a light, a slap on the wrist.
Either that, pour a hot liquid down in the shorts.
Either that. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Here's something else you can't fight alone.
Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I got Harvey Weierman over on line number two. I guess he's over. Yeah, there he is. Harvey, I know that you have the family over, and I understand that you're a little inconvenienced.
I'm all right, but what I resent was the end of May. You baited me into being on this program tonight.
Well, it sounds to me like you're getting ready to take a bath.
Don't worry about what I'm doing. Do you mind? Don't worry about what I'm doing. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You baited me into being on your program tonight to come up with answers and solutions to the Anthony Weiner situation. Put some more water in there, George. I got George, who... George has been with me since, Geez, George, how long you been here?
Well, since you moved from the old house.
Yeah, when we moved to the old house, I'm in San Marino now. We used to be out in Pasadena. Put some more water in there.
I don't think...
Put more water in there. You want me to take a bath in 2 inches of water?
I don't think I'm going to drown.
I'm not going to drown in 2 inches... Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Wait, you know, we don't have a lot of time.
Hold on. How am I going to drown in 2 inches of water? Put some more water in there, will you, please? Come on. Yeah. All the way to the top.
I'm not bugging with it down.
I'm not going to drown in 2 inches. Are you ready for this, guy? I'm going to drown in 2 inches of water. Now, what I was saying is, what do you think? We got a drought on? Come on. I'm a rich man. So anyway, Phil, I heard what you said when you went into the break.
What?
You said I belonged in a straitjacket, didn't you?
I said that some of the things you were saying, yes.
What was I saying? I said, what if Abraham Lincoln sent a picture of his thing to a 12-year-old?
Right, and that's, to me, that's just bizarre.
George, come here for a minute. I'm going to talk to George. This is a man, George Gonzalez, been with me for a long time. He's been a butler. He's been on my domestic staff. George, come here. How long you worked for me?
Since 1971.
Since 1971, Phil. 40 years. How old were you when you started with me?
15.
15 years old.
15?
Yeah, 15. Oh, I get it. So he was my boy?
I'm not saying anything of the sort, man. I'm just, I don't, you know.
Let me get into this stuff. All right, now, George, have you ever worked for anybody else? Off and on, you worked for, maybe you worked for somebody else, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Who did you work for?
I worked for Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, look at right there. See that?
He worked for Sheen, huh?
You better believe he worked for Sheen. And what did Sheen used to do, okay, to get women?
Mr. Sheen would have,
Hold on for a minute. God, I got to go to the bathroom. Hold on. Oh, I'm in the tub. I might as well just...
No, you don't!
Right? You know what the definition of stupid is, don't you? Getting out of the shower when you got to take a leak. Now...
You know what, Harvey? Are you doing stand-up now?
No, I am not.
Then can we get to the point?
Oh, well, okay, sir. So what did Sheen do to attract women? Now, this is George. Come on, George. What did Sheen do? Is that the baby? Is that the shampoo that doesn't hurt my eyes, right?
No, it doesn't hurt.
Okay. What did Sheen do to attract women?
Mr. Sheen would, just like you, Mr. Wireman, he would have them heat in a microwave oven bacon fat.
Bacon fat, Phil? Now, you think I belong in a straitjacket. Will you hear this story? Go ahead.
So heat up the bacon fat.
Right. And then what would Mr. Sheen do with the bacon fat?
He'd just sit down into it.
He'd sit right down into it.
He'd sit down into boiling hot bacon fat?
That's right.
Yeah. The reason why he said is women are attracted to pork. They smell of pork?
Yeah. Sheen figured in his twisted and warped mind that you could attract a woman if your genitals smelled like pork. Are you ready for that?
Wow.
Yeah. So he'd have George, although it did work, didn't it?
Yes, it did work.
So I don't know what I'm...
Well, now, wait just a minute.
Well, you can't deny that it works.
I don't know whether that did it or not.
I don't know why I brought the story up, because I was going to make fun of him, and now I realize that guy's kid's work. Talk about a rental car. So go ahead, George.
Anyway, he helped me to heat it up, and he'd sit in the bacon fat.
Did it hurt?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Did it hurt or didn't it hurt? It must have hurt. It's boiling bacon fat.
I don't know. He looked like he was smiling and everything.
What do you mean, smiling? What do you mean, smiling?
What, is he serious?
Hold on for a minute. George, every night, I have you pour hot soup down my shorts so I won't smoke a cigar. And you're telling me that Charlie Sheen sat in hot bacon fat and smiled? God will not permit this to happen. I'm going to be allowed to fulfill my destiny. Heat up some more of that soup.
Please, senor, don't make me do it. Please don't make me do it.
I said to heat up more soup, yeah.
Wait a minute. What, are you going to prove something to yourself?
That's right. No way does Sheen sit in hot bacon fat. Yeah, that's it. Is it hot? Yeah, there you go. All right, I'm going to sit in this.
Come on, you have to smile just like Charlie Sheen. Laugh, too. That's not good enough. A better laugh. No, you suck.
Are you telling me because you got an ego trip going about Charlie Sheen, you just sat down in more hot soup?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You're lying to me, George.
No, you asked me a question.
You've got to be lying. There's no way Sheen sits in hot bacon fat and lives to talk. Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, you know what I said about you needing a straitjacket?
Uh-huh.
You need a straitjacket, man.
It hurt really bad.
Yeah, I'll bet it. Your voice has changed, Harvey.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it has, man.
Okay.
I better put him to bed.
Yeah, I think so. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back next hour with our news and comment hour. Charlie Sheen sat in hot bacon fat because he heard chicks were attracted to the smell of pork. And it worked. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil.
Okay.